Hello and welcome to another edition of Shadow of Love. I'm Holly, your co-host, writer, intimacy coach, lover of great white sharks, dark chocolate, and all things spooky. And I'm here with my co-host, Ernest. Good morning, Ernest.
Good morning. I am Ernest. I am dark chocolate, and I'm the proud co-host of the Shadow of Love podcast. I'm also a restaurant manager, a mixologist, a hotel manager, a soul enthusiast, and a lover of thick thighs and all things full of soul.
Thanks. We also have a special guest with us today. We are joined by the lovely Michelle Massey. Hey, Michelle.
Hey there, Holly. It is so good to be with you today. I appreciate the invite. I love your intro. So I'm like, ooh, how can I make mine a little spicy? But I'm a lover of Thai food, Mediterranean food. I love decadent things. So good food, good wine, good people. So
I love it. Love it. So today our topic is love, and I would call it maybe like self-reliance, independence, right? This concept of, do we have to be partnered or seeking partnership in order to have a fulfilling life? And I'm going to start with you, Michelle, and see, you know, for you, what does that mean in your own life?
You know, it's funny because I actually had this conversation in my head a couple weeks ago where, you know, I have a lot of friends in different stages in their lives. Some are still married. Others are divorced. But it seems like everyone is coming to this realization of like, what is happiness? What is that core of happiness? I personally have been through relationships. I've had long-term relationships and they were good when they were good. And then I was just like, something's always missing. And I came to the realization that I actually love being single. Like, I love on myself so much that it is very hard sometimes to equal that type of energy from someone else. But it's also the structures of society trying to tell you you're supposed to do this, this, that, and the other. And if you're not, then, you know, I hear it from my grandmother. I hear it from literally family members that I have no contact with. And I run into them. Oh, you're not married. Oh, you're not doing this. Like, well, no, I'm not. And I don't have to be. But it's always this, like in their minds, there's this belief that something is missing. But for me, the last probably 6 or 7 years have been the most fulfilling of my life. I have a child. She's 6 years old. And the last relationship I was with or in was with her father. And you do these things trying to go, oh, well, what if you stay with the partner? It's better for the kid. Like, well, no, that's not true. Because you're just causing stress and adding animosity between the two of you and then bringing it to the home. And kids are very, they soak in everything. So I made a decision like, this isn't working for any of us. So you got to go. And I just spent the last few years just fully accepting that it is perfectly okay and normal that I just love spending more time by myself than being partnered up. And that is fine for me. And that is fine for millions of other women. And I'm just like hoping everybody comes to that realization. But it took a long time for me to just go, this is what works for me. And I always knew it, but I always was foolishly still trying to fit into other people's expectations and into societal expectations. And so I would push against what I knew was right for me. So, you know, even before I met my daughter's father, I was in a long-term relationship and I was like, I don't want to be here though. And then I ended up in another one because I was like, well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to. And I was like, it just took a couple chances for me to actually go, no, I actually was better by myself. And a part of that is because, yeah, my mom raised me to be confident. But at the same time, she and my family came with those old traditional notions of like, try to find somebody. Even though growing up, none of the relationships were functional, but it was still like, none of this is functional. So don't do what we do, but still try to go find somebody. But there was never that discussion about just like really loving on yourself. So I was confident in work. I was confident in friendships. But I was always faltering in relationships. And when you falter in relationships, you start to go, well, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Well, yeah, in a way it was me because I was trying to force myself into something that wasn't natural to me. So I'm intentional when I have conversations with my daughter about just like the confidence and the love that she should have for herself and how to develop that free of someone else. How that happiness is an internal process and it's a lifelong process, but, and it evolves. So, you know, there are just moments where it's just like, I'm in my mid 40s. I'm still learning, but I'm closer to my true self just because I was able to take a pause and really say, this works for me. Can I cuss on here? I don't
know. Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, basically, I was like, fuck anybody else's notions about where I should be, because this is the season of just fully embracing who I am and loving who I am and really living in the confidence that, you know, I was always told to have and express in other parts of my life. But, you know, there's no deeper confidence, no deeper caring than just fully embracing who you are and realizing that you can bring yourself joy and happiness and you could seek those experiences on your own. So yeah, I mean, it's just been an evolution.
I feel like I just went to church.
Mm-hmm.
Preach. You know, I mean, I could give
the Reverend Dr. Bishop Massey.
I'm so glad though that you have this platform because more people just need to hear that this is me and others being single is as normal as all the coupling. And it's like, yeah, how do we get that? How do we normalize that type of relationship with yourself? How do you normalize just absolutely loving and doting on yourself? And just establishing that, like, yeah, I'm happy and I can be happy and I truly am happy by myself. And I also realize, like, it's the friendships. It's not always, you know, the romantic relationships. But I have some of the richest, purest friendships that I have cultivated. And, you know, Holly being one of them, you know, we've known each other for, I want to say over 20 years. And it's just so easy to be able to cultivate and be a part of the lives of these other women and men and non-binary people who have embraced me. And in return, I have embraced them because we just purely, genuinely love each other's company. And we've tapped into parts of each other's souls that speak to joy and peace and happiness. And I have found just my friendships have brought me more peace and laughter and joy than the romantic relationships that I had in the past.
I would agree. And I think it's a different kind of pressure when you're with someone romantically in terms of what the expectations are. I think with friendship, there's a greater understanding and acceptance of that person for who they are, right? But I'm with you on, I think it's breaking generational things. I know I had so much pressure in my 20s about getting married, and I really didn't, want to be married, and I didn't want to have kids. And then I ended up doing both. And I love my kids to death, but I've told them, like, it's, for me, that pressure has always been, you know, something that I've grappled with. And in the most recent relationship I was in, I think I give myself props because I figured out a couple of years in that it wasn't going to work. And instead of just staying and trying to make things happen that weren't going to happen and that were just going to further, you know, stunt my development, I called it, just like you said, like, he's got to go. Like, that's it. The time is done. And I have those conversations with my younger daughter all the time. She's 11. And she said to me, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, she's like, you know, when I'm in my early 30s, I want to be married and I'd like to start having kids then. And I said, stop right there. I said, words are powerful. I was like, here's what you can say to yourself that I think would be more appropriate. I said, you can say, I think I would like to be partnered in my 30s. And I look forward to having kids in my 30s, because I was like, listen, you may not be partnered, but you can still have kids on your own. you know, and you don't have to be married if you're with somebody. Like, that's not something that you have to do. And she stopped and she was like, yeah, you're right. I don't have to do that. And I was like, it just takes that, that kind of, you know, stopping those generational things that we've handed down. And living in the community we do here in Santa Fe, for as progressive and liberal as it is, it still very much has like a Catholic undertone. And so you can see that that is still very much a part of the expectation. So the people that she's with at school, you know, it's still very much a traditional kind of like, there's kids dating in the, you know, sixth grade. It's so weird, right? And she's like, I want like none of it. You know, I don't want the drama. I don't want to, these boys are gross. Like, just at this age, not cool. And so we have a lot of conversations about, you know, just how she sees other girls navigating things. And I encourage her to love the hell out of herself, because I didn't really learn that either. I did learn, like you, to do well in school, do well at work, be professional, have all these other, you know, places where I was giving 100%. But then when it came to myself, like, I had to learn that for myself. And man, I'm just so fucking happy right now.
Yes.
Feeling myself all the time and just doing what I fucking want to do. And I'm really loving it. Ernest, I want to hear from you in terms of like a male perspective, how you feel about, you know, being an individual unto yourself.
Oh, right now I'm just enjoying watching the ladies cook. I'm just staying out the kitchen. I'm sitting back like, yo, y'all are cooking today. Y'all are on fire. I'm just like, mm. So I don't know, for me, like, as everyone, well, on the, that listens to the show knows, I'm divorcing. I'm a, you know, I've been married twice. So, you know, I'm cool in a casino. Like, I've been, you know, I've left the casino twice, broke. You know, I was escorted out of the casino by the police once. So, like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we got to get away from, and I agree with what Michelle said, and I also agree with what you said, Holly. There's these traditional pressures that, you know, I think because we're all in our 40s, right? So we still have that echo of old school traditionalism that's been put upon us that kids today don't have, right? Like, I grew up in the church, conservative household, and I did have those pressures of, like, I remember my father told me, and I listen to this advice to this day. My father told me when I was 18, he was like, you're gonna need a few things in life. He's like, you're gonna need a good pastor. You're gonna need a good man or a woman, depending on, you know, your orientation. You're gonna need a good doctor. You're gonna need a good accountant. And you're gonna need a lawyer on retention. Right? Those are the things that he told me when I was 18. And I follow those rules to this day. But the thing about the relationships model, you know, I followed it. I don't believe, I believe that basically, you know, love will find you or you'll find love. It's those two things, but don't actively like look for it. You know, so for me, I don't believe that you necessarily have to have somebody in your life to make you complete. I just don't. I think that that's a thing that you have to do for yourself. We talk about this all the time. I do end up finding myself in relationships or whatever, but like, if I find myself in a relationship, that person has to compliment me, or we compliment each other. Like, at this point, like, I'm almost 50. God damn, I'm almost 50. Like, almost 50 for real. Like, this cookie is done baking. So I don't necessarily believe, I've never believed that you have to have somebody in your life that makes your life. I think that you have to do it for yourself. Right? You really do. And it's hard sometimes if you're like, if you've been married, if you've been in long-term relationships, I think people find it hard to be on their own sometimes. Like me, I've lived alone for the last, after like, what, 15 years? I lived alone for the last year by myself. And I have to say, like, right now, I'm enjoying it the most now, right? Because there's an adjustment period. You don't just, like, wake up one day and be like, I'm fine being alone after being married for years and, you know, with my family and blah, blah, blah. That's not true. I think that, you know, if you have been coupled for a long time, it takes a while. Like right now, I'm just finally really enjoying it or whatever. I don't even press people like my friends who are single. When I was married, and Holly knows this, when I was married, I'm the kind of person that would tell my friends that were coupled and dating, if they had problems in their relationships, I'm like, break up, move on quick. You know why? Because there's no legalities involved. Like you don't have to like break up with like lawyers. You don't need lawyers to break up with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. You don't. You might need a moving truck or your homie's, you know, van or something on a weekend, but you don't really need a whole lot of other legal shit to break up. Just move on. There's billions of other people out here for you, right? We talk about this all the time. There's billions of people. So bounce, right? She's not the only one. He's not the only one. They're not the only one. Let's keep it pushing when you're single. And there's nothing wrong, like how Michelle was talking earlier, there's nothing wrong with being single. There's nothing wrong with being by yourself, right? And I think that you really have to be very discriminating these days when you decide to couple up with somebody. Because at this age, in this point in everybody's life, from a grown folks' point of view, you can't really, like me personally, don't, like we talk about this a lot, like, man, don't fuck with my time, right? Just don't. Yeah, Michelle, we're allowed to cuss on here. We cuss on here all the time. So don't fuck with my time. Don't fuck with my feelings. Don't fuck with my emotions. Don't fuck with my money. So for me, I really, like I'm really, really struggling with getting rid of the old school notions of how things are supposed to be, right? So it's like trying to, how can I put it? It's like shaking off an old man that's in you that you're not supposed to be yet. Mm-hmm. Right? Like the notions of being married, the notions of how relationships are supposed to be and designed. Like I totally agree with that.
So when we're thinking about like self-love and individuality, Michelle, what to you are like the most important parts of that? Like if you could name, you know, one to three things that you do for yourself to like really drive home how important it is for you to love yourself, what would those be?
You know, when you said that, the word that came to mind to me was just freedom. So just having the freedom every day to be me, and I know that sounds super corny, but having that freedom, having, you know, washed away the expectations of others. And I go into my every single day with that and saying, I am, you know, fully exploring things that I enjoy. So even if it's like, you know, actual like things that I do to really express that love for myself, it's learning. So I'll buy myself some new books. So I'll allow myself to just take the time to browse, spend money on, you know, books that might take you the next 5 years to read. But, you know, or I'll find some way to expand an interest. This is something else, you know, sorry if this sounds like a tangent, but it really is related. I've recently been taking classes again, just to explore things that used to interest me. So I used to be a journalist and I fell out of the profession for a myriad of reasons. But there was also this thing where I was like, I need, you know, I was always trying to perfect and figure out like what I was good at in that space. And so I'm in the season of my life where I'm just rediscovering those things that bring me that joy, and the writing and communicating and identifying, you know, courses that I could take to help me find that love for that thing that I'm really good at again. But all of a part of that is really about loving myself, but also regaining the confidence to really say, I am amazing at this. I might need to refine this one or the other, but I think, you know, women in particular are never celebrating when we say we're great at something. There's always big eye rolls or you got people doubting you, but it's like, God damn it, I am so like, I am good. Like, I'm good at a lot of things, and, you know, take it as arrogance if you want, but it's also just the recognition, me knowing who I am and embracing who I am, and then taking the steps to really perfect that and to find the joy in it again. So, did I answer your question? I think a part of it is just, you know, being able to take the steps to find the things that you enjoy in life again. And for me, that's love, but it's also the freedom to explore, and it's the freedom for me to continue to learn and grow, and to continue to say, these are the things that I'm excellent at, and you're going to recognize it, and you're going to, you know, you're not going to dim my shine. So I think that's a big part of an acceptance, is being your first and greatest cheerleader, and making sure that other people recognize that.
Awesome.
If I have addressed the question, let me know. But if I totally went around it, let me know that too.
No, you totally nailed it. And I mean, I definitely would agree. I think that, you know, having that sense of just doing things for the joy of wanting to do them for me is a huge part of that. And like you, like, I've always been interested in belly dance. So I'm taking belly dance classes this year. And I'm loving it, you know, and I don't know if I'll ever get to a point where I might want to like be in a performance, but it's just the self-confidence. And I'm taking my daughter when I have her to go as well. And she really loved it the first time she went. She was like, I didn't realize, she's like, this was so sexy, you know? And at 11, it's really good, I think, to say like, I have this beautiful body and there are a million ways that I can kind of be in touch with it, you know, and having been in the birth world and stuff, I talk to my kids about sex all the time because I really want them to develop a very healthy sexuality for themselves. And be it if they decide to be partnered at some point or not, I want them to really feel comfortable with the choices that they make and make sure that they do things that are safe for themselves in that realm. And so it was good for her to have this thing where she could, you know, be in touch with her body and her femininity and enjoy that. And I've been loving it. So things like that, you know, the buying things for yourself took me like a long time to really be like okay with. And I'm finally in a position where I have the kind of work that I love to do, where I'm paid what I feel I am worth to do it. It's amazing. And just that sense of like, oh, I can go and like do this for myself if I want to, you know what I mean? And sometimes you still have that voice in your head where it's like, oh, but do I want to spend that money doing such and such, you know, when I could spend it for this or put it away? And it's like, I've really been a lot more lenient with myself and just being like, go, bitch, go spend the money. Go spend, you know what? It on yourself.
And that is something I actually have never struggled with because I have always pampered myself. But you know what? I've had to push back on people who say, didn't that money be put toward X, Y, and Z? And then that's when I go, that's because you're so limited in your worldview. First of all, I got the money. I am high maintenance because I am maintaining it. And so it's really funny when people make this assumption that if I take something and do for myself, I must be taking it away from the other thing. Where I'm like, no, my baby's college fund is set, my retirement is set, and my play money is set because I handled it. And I think a big part of that is love too, because I know what I'm worth, I know what my child is worth. And so I've worked hard to get the things I want without having to rely on somebody else to give it to me. So, girl, I can give you some lessons on pampering.
I love it.
No, I think like all three of us, because I think I do more for a straight man. I do more outfit changes than a Cher show. I don't give a fuck. Like, no, like I have like a closet. Literally, I have a shoe closet. It's dumb. So there's nothing wrong with. I'm a 100% advocate of taking care of yourself and being as pretty as possible. Like we're talking the other day, like I have no shame in being a neon peacock around a bunch of pigeons who can't fly. I don't care. I really do.
Yes.
So big ups to that. Love yourself.
You know, it's like a big part of this. I'm just like, I want people to own, like, don't diminish yourself. And I think it's so, it may be something that's uniquely American. It's like, unless you're wealthy, you're not allowed to be extravagant. You're not allowed to really enjoy what life has to offer. And I'm like, fuck that. Because I am enjoying my life and I'm going to give myself experiences and I'm going to give myself fine things that, you know, I deserve. And I'm going to teach my daughter that now. Like literally my daughter doesn't believe there's anything she cannot do because everything she has wanted to do, I have found a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When she is older, when, you know, partnered or not, she doesn't have to rely on somebody or she doesn't have to worry about somebody telling her she can't do it or she can't do this because she's already known that she can. And, you know, again, loving on yourself, but starting that at a young age, because, you know, as Holly said earlier, it's those generational things that always operated in the deficit. You know, the grandparent generation, our parents' generation, it always came from a deficit. It always came from things you don't have or it's a sense of survival. But it was never framed in your life could be thriving.
Yeah, it's more of a, let me tell you, it's like a more of a like a life of living of people telling you what you can't do first. Like, let me tell you what you can't do.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's a limit thing. It's a cultural thing, and it's a class thing. Right. Like, let me tell you what you can't do. Right. First, and so you end up going through your life until you find your own stride and your own identity and have your own experiences. I think that's the thing that I've been fortunate enough to have was my father was a more of a, let me tell, I was raised by my dad and he was more of a, let me tell you what you can do kind of person, right? Which may be a little bit more different from some of the people in his family or whatever, because my father's super smart, speaks like at least 10 languages and does his own thing. So he was more of like, let me tell you what you can do, which when you're Black, or if you come from like an immigrant household too, if you're on your own, I can do attitude, it fucks with people. It irritates people. And I live in, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh. And so being a confident brother in this town, it irritates the fuck out of people because I feel like I'm stepping out the mothership every time I talk to people, or like, you know, the way that I dress, the way that I talk, and the way that I carry myself, it just rubs people the wrong way. It really does. And like, I'm cool with it.
I know, I'm from Pittsburgh too. I know. I live in DC now, but a big part of that was I had to recognize I had to leave, like physically leave that environment. So that I could thrive, so that I could identify my joy, because I was also trying to force myself to stay in this place where other people seem to be okay. And so something must be wrong with me that I'm just so unhappy here. But I'm like, nah, I'm just not meant to stay here. And, you know, I had to cancel a whole lot of noise and a whole lot of people thinking they're giving me great advice. Where I was just like, yeah, I can't do this. This is not my life. And so it takes a lot, you know, Black woman takes a lot to step out and say, I'm going to do something very differently than the blueprint that was laid in front of me.
And it's a shitty blueprint. It's a terrible blueprint.
Yeah, exactly.
Like none of this shit, if you look at the schematics, you're like, oh wait, none of this shit works right. Right. Like we need to fix all this shit. Right.
It's always, you know, and that's where No, we could have a whole part two just on the traumas of growing up Black in Pittsburgh. But we won't get into all that right now.
No, that's a whole.
That's a series.
I'm from Flint and Pittsburgh, so I got double whammy. And then like ended up in Santa Barbara. So that's a whole other story. But it's the thing that like where I just don't believe. Like I look at my son's life. My son really doesn't have to. He wants for nothing, right? So he's of the generation of, you can do anything you want, whatever the fuck you want to do, you can do it, right? And so you know, his mother and I have both imparted on him like, yo, you can do whatever you want to do. Like you're in a place in life where he's never had any, you know, real struggles like that like our parents had. So like my dad grew up poor, my mother grew up in a large family, like 13, you know, 12 siblings. You know, my grandfather worked hard to the bone to provide for 13 children. 13. Like that's a hoop team with a good bench. So yeah. I'm like, my grandma wasn't dead, she'd be pregnant right now. Jesus Christ. So but like, you know, when you grow up with people who, and it's not a knock, it's just a story that you have. When you grow up with people who have struggled, who grew up in a struggle, they pass that struggle on to their children to a degree because they came up in an era or in a lifestyle of you can't have, you can't do. You know, I'm a post-civil rights baby. I'm a soul baby. I'm not a Generation X, right? So you do have that echo. I was raised by somebody who couldn't vote. You know what I'm saying? So like, there's a lot of you can't do's. And it's hard to shake those off. And it bleeds into like how you live your life and how you love too.
Yeah, I was about to say that because we didn't, you know, my mom talks about this generation and kind of like the Black Power generation. And it was, you know, to see and hear the recollections of that sounds beautiful, but I also was like, but it was this weird balance because I asked my mom once, I said, well, did grandma say, you know, like how often did she say I love you? And she's like, oh, she when we were growing up, I didn't hear it a lot. I hear it a lot more now that I'm an adult. And then I was like, well, what were the attributes that were, you know, passed along? Like were you, Faith is smart, she's tenacious. And she's like, no, I didn't hear that stuff growing up. And so I think it was hard. And my mom, like to her credit, she intentionally wanted us to grow up differently, my brother and I. She didn't always know how that would look. She didn't always know the steps to take because she was living from this space where love wasn't always poured into her. Now she poured it into us, and you know, sometimes it was, you know, felt like it's messages, but she tried, right? And so I think a lot of it is the trial and error that each generation goes through. And like you said, it was a lot of the pain because it was all based on survival. And it's even different for my mom now. Like I moved her down out of Pittsburgh to DC, and she'll still be like, I can't believe the community here actually supports each other. There's a Black mayor, you know, and there was a Black mayor that was elected before 2022, right? So DC has always had Black mayors, but it was just like, even
they got one,
in her
city. One crackhead. They got one crackhead mayor, just one.
but I always defend his record. He still did some good shit. But mm-hmm. You know, for the city, not necessarily good shit like his
After I smoke this crack, I'm gonna balance this budget though. We're gonna get this budget balanced.
But it's really interesting because I think we're in this state now where it's like just that notion of love and what love looks like. It's actions. Whereas you know, before it was like, oh, I love you, don't you know that? It's like, well, no, because your actions don't always meet that. And so I'm even, you know, I find myself as the teacher for my mom and even for my grandmother at some degree. Like, I will impart things or say things and push back on things that are still said and done in action. And I'll say, well, that's not the way that I operate. That's not the way that I want to be raised. So y'all got to come a different way, or I don't want you to say that again. But, you know, a part of it is I'm trying to teach them that you're allowed to want things and love things. You're allowed to do it yourselves. But they're coming from a place where they just didn't do that before. You know, my mom, I was like, we just go out to dinner a lot because you're allowed to. And you can have that great glass of wine because you're allowed to. Because you earned it. Because you raised two, like, badass kids. And you raised us without having a, you know, an idea of what the heck you were doing because you had us super young. So, you know, right now is the time where, like, it's never too late to embrace and love on yourself. And that's where I kind of want to, you know, I can go off in tangents, but I think the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, it happens at different stages and different seasons in our life where the loving, the growth, the embracing who you are and what you want never ceases. It could evolve, it changes, it looks different, but it's not too late to really take those moments to say, this is really what I want. This is really what I believe. And the action, you know, not only things I do for myself, but the things that I then do for my daughter, my granddaughter, et cetera. So, yeah, I'm going to shut up now because I can talk for hours.
Oh, no, but you're right though. Like, Holly and I, we talk all the time. My self-love, you know, being single again, and I'm going to be single forever this time. If I ever talk about getting married again, lock me up, tase me, or something like that. Just make sure. No, I'm not doing it again.
It's quite all right. I have never desired to get married, and it was funny because I was engaged before, and I knew, I was like, I don't want to do this.
I
am so grateful I never did it.
I'm never doing anything. I mean, you know, here's the thing: like, marriage is good. Marriage is a marathon, right? So, marriage is like, either it's good, it's bad, or you're gonna, like I said, it's like, oh, it's spaghetti night, whatever. It's, you know, it's a routine. I don't ever want to get in that routine again, but I find myself these days, because I didn't go out a lot when I was married. I have no shame saying this. I'm in them streets a lot. I think I eat out at least 3 times a week, whatever. I have dinner in the streets at least 3 times a week. And it's something I like to do for myself, even though, like, I'm a chef, I can cook, whatever. But I like to just be out. And, you know, like, some of my family members are like, man, you always in the streets. So I'm like, yeah, but, like, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm like, I'm at a jazz set, or I'm at a reggae set, or I'm at, you know, I'm going to shoot darts, and I'm enjoying, and usually I go out by myself, and I'm enjoying my own company more now than I have in years, in like well over a decade. I really am, right? It's funny, like, getting to know myself again. Like, I'm really like a stranger to myself. Like, I've been in my apartment for just over a year, and, you know, back in the city for just over a year. And I'm really just like enjoying, like, I feel like Mary Tyler Moore or whatever the fuck, like, I'm, you know, in the street throwing my hat in the air and spinning around and shit. Like, I'm just enjoying, you know,
like, for real, like. It's like you're dating yourself.
I'm dating myself and shit. Like, I am enjoying. I'm enjoying this shit. Like, I have no, I don't have any guilt or whatever in what I do. I did get a call from my financial advisor who is asking me about, like, my bar expenditures lately. And I'm just like, hey, that's just what I'm doing. So, and I have no problem with that. Like, I enjoy me, And I also, what I've also started to do, I'm kind of limiting the time I spend with certain people that don't make me feel good. Right? If you're not on what I'm on, and you don't have to be what I'm on. You don't have to enjoy the places that I go. These are the places that I go. It don't mean that we ain't friends or whatever. It don't mean that we ain't homies, but this is what I like to do. Right? So I kind of starting to limiting.
And it's that setting those boundaries and determining like who is taking that time away from, you know, we're sapping into your energy. Like,
yeah.
And being able to say, you know, it no longer serves a purpose. This relationship no longer serves the purpose that it intended to, or I've outgrown you. And that's okay. Like, you know, there's also this notion you're supposed to literally hang on to everybody you know for the duration of your life, even if they're good or not. But a big part of like the deepest recognition of loving yourself is knowing when someone no longer serves your life's purpose, and when in fact the relationship is causing more harm or more frustration than adding a benefit to your life. And it's just very much about like setting those strong boundaries too, and just be like, good, you're over there. And I will say that's one of the things of becoming a parent that helped me to be firm in saying, I don't want you in my life anymore. You are not benefit, or I am not benefiting from this relationship anymore. And I have zero guilt for cutting people off.
Amen. It's a hard thing to do.
No, it is hard. It's, you know what? It's hard because like, and I think that's also, again, we are all in our 40s. So like, that's also like, we commit old school to things. Like your homies are your homies for life and all that stuff. And I've gone down a different path than some of my friends have. I have friends from like all different kinds of walks of life, some good and some bad, whatever. And as I get older, I realize like, you know, you're still my friend. I still love you, but I can't be as close to you because of how you do your thing. I can't be as close to you as I want to be, or I used to be, because like, yo, you're still dangerous as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like if the cops pull us over, you know, I'm not going to jail with you. Like real talk, I am almost 50. I will be 50 in July. I'm not going to jail with you for real, right? Or I don't want to get into something that you're into in these streets or whatever. And like, yo, we're too old for this nonsense anyway. Pull your pants up. Right? Like for real, like I got different homies. Some of them are dope and some of them, you know, are a little sketchy. And so, excuse me, like now I'm getting to this point in my life where I'm like, time is a factor. You know, I was talking to a good friend last night. We're both going to be 50 and it's this summer. We were having dinner last night. And he said to me, and it was funny, he said, it wasn't funny, but he said, Pimpin, I think, you know, I only got like maybe a good 20 left. And I was like, 20 what, dollars? I got you, homie. He was like, no, he's like 20, but he's like maybe a good 20 years of life. And I said, you know, and I'm sitting looking at my wings and I said, fuck, right? I literally said, fuck, just like that. Cause I'm like, I'm like, man, you think like you have all the time, but like 20, like I'm 50 and I'm black with a heart problem. So like, I may have a good 50, a solid 15, right? So like, how am I gonna, and we're just talking about like how we're gonna spend, you know, this last quarter of our lives and how we're going to do it. You know, this is a real serious talk. We've never talked like this before. We talked about like our funerals. Right, we're starting to talk about our funerals. I'm like, you know, I said I'm having a DJ, I'm having bus crates, I'm having BJ DJ my funeral. And you know, he thought I was kidding. I'm like, no, I'm doing it this way because I want people to have some joy or whatever in the room. Like hip hop makes everything better. So, but it was funny because like we'd never had that conversation before, and I've known this cat almost 20 years, and here we are having a conversation about our mortality. in a real way, right? And so I came away from that with this feeling of, and I've been, you know, Holly, you and I talk all the time, of like everything has an imperative these days. Everything. Like you can't take any of this shit with you, but while you're here, make this shit as enjoyable as you possibly can. Like I'm starting to feel, like I get why old people act the way that they do. Right? Because I'm fitting to be old. Like I'm like, you know, we're talking like my back hurts today. I got a toothache and my left foot. I think I broke my left foot. I'm pretty sure it did. Like I sound like an old person. You know what I'm saying? Like I need Bengay and
I will say an act of love that, you know, and this is all seriousness, an act of love is as you're having these moments of like, you know, space and place and time, you know, I created a whole estate plan to take care of my child. That's love. That is me showing her that I love her enough not to saddle her with debt and to make sure she is taken care of. And that's a look. I'm giving you topics for days because that's another thing that was never discussed, at least in non-middle class households, was estate planning and how you build that for future people. And it was always seen as a scary thing where I was just like, no, it's about love and appreciating the people in your lives now and being able to set them up for the future. So for me, that was an act of, and it brought me joy to think about what my wishes were, how I wanted to make sure my end of life was dictated on my terms and that I would make sure my child was okay without me. Now, emotionally, you know, that's a whole thing, different thing, but in terms of her financial well-being, she's going to be okay without me because I love her enough to create that plan.
That's beautiful.
And I love myself enough to be able to be at peace with the choices that I am making. For, and it might just be the control freaking me and the major plan underneath it. But that was important for me. And that's how I viewed that act of creating this process of that estate plan was because, it was done out of love.
I remember like before my mom passed away a few years back, but she would always say, she's like, don't worry. She's like, when I die, don't worry. I got everything covered, blah, 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 blah. Right. And I'm like, I didn't want to think about it or whatever. Like I didn't think about my mom passed, but when she passed, she actually did have things in order, surprisingly, in that way. Like, and like last night, I'm sitting there talking to my buddy Gerard and we're just sitting there talking. He was like, do you have a will? And I was like, no, I don't. Right? I don't have a will. I have to work on that. I got a bunch of lawyers, so I think I can get a will drawn up pretty fast. But Michelle, I never really thought, like you were saying, like making sure your daughter's taken care of. I've never really, up until recently, I haven't really. And you know, full disclosure, I have died twice. So I think it's on me at this point. I should have been at this shit taken care of, right? So yeah, that's something I'm really going to have to address in the immediate future.
Yeah.
For real.
It's important. I haven't like set out my exact plans, but like I've had conversations with my kids about what I know I want in terms of like, I definitely want to be cremated and then I want them to take my ashes and travel. Like I want them to go and see things and do things and take me with them. But I have, you know, life insurance and stuff. And I've given, because I'm a single person now, you know, I've given them to one of my kids and been like, here's this. This is where I keep the keys to my safe. Like, these are the passwords where you can find for my stuff, because you think like there's a whole bunch of things that you're going to be leaving behind that they're going to have to navigate. And you want to make it easy as possible for them to be able to function and do that. But I, like you, Michelle, like I was not raised in a family where we talked about that stuff. I am mildly estranged from my family. So I don't even know what plans my parents have in place, if any, for their end of life stuff. And I just know that I don't want it to hit my kids like where they, you know, have to then grapple with dealing with this stuff that I left unresolved for them. That just doesn't feel very fair. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're taking care of the people who love you. Before we wrap up for today, my last question for you, Michelle, is, you know, having self-love and being independent in terms of like, you know, sexual needs, right? This is a taboo subject. What for you is that a pressing issue for you? Is that something where you find that you can manage your needs yourself? I don't think we talk about this stuff as women hardly ever. But what's important for you in that realm? Or are you comfortable getting your needs met as needed and just, you know, continuing along?
So I want to introduce a couple different things. So yes, I am comfortable in getting my needs met. And it's you know, it's self pleasure as well as finding pleasure in others, but or from others, I should say. But I also want to bring up something, and you being in kind of birth field and all that, something that also is not talked about a lot is when new mothers do not want to have sex, do not want to be touched. And your whole body can change and the whole feeling around intimacy changes. So after I had my daughter, I actually did not want to be touched. I did not want to have sex. And that lasted for a couple of years. Like I physically was just like, I just don't want anyone touching me. And that's not talked about enough because everyone's always talking about like all the couples that like didn't even wait till their 6 week checkups, blah, 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 blah. You know, all these people who had more kids after the first. And I was just like, more power to y'all. I personally did not have that experience. I did not physically want anyone to put their hands on because my whole body had changed.
And I want to validate that that's normal. Like that's absolutely normal for women to have a very long postpartum period where, you know, they feel touched out and they just need that time internally to heal, particularly depending on what kind of birth trauma, if you had any, you experienced, because you just, there's a lot of emotion that goes with that as well. And it's not talked about. It really does come down to that. 6 weeks is not enough in general, but that's a whole other topic for a whole other day.
So I just wanted to make that clear as like, that was totally normal that I was just like, I am not feeling sexual or intimate right now. And it's, there's no timetable on that as to when I will want to. So yeah, like I, you know, I worked through it and I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm ready. And this is totally cool. But it also was just like, that's where you start to have, you know, the understandings from other people about like, what does this intimacy look like? Like, what is the, what is the relationship? What is the negotiation here? You know, I am open to partnering again in the future. It is not a desire right now. It is not something I am seeking. But, you know, the physical intimacy now, you know, I enjoy it in a different way than I did in my 20s. But, you know, it's also not, I don't need it as often to feel the feeling. Does that make sense? Like, it's just, you know, when I need to feel a certain way, I find a way to make it happen. But it is not this ongoing nagging. I got to get it all the time. Right? Because that's just not how I feel anymore. And so, you know, it's the same thing. It's like your body changes, your mentality around intimacy changes. You know, again, it goes back to being able to control that and being able to understand what that is and knowing that, you know, it's totally normal to have these ebbs and flows when it comes to physical intimacy and where, when it comes to how you get it. You know, I was highly sexual. And I think that's another thing. We always, you know, there's always this notion around women who have sex and just like all the horrible things that we like to label them to be. Where I'm just like, no, it's just human nature to you know, want to have sex, and it's all good for women to express themselves sexually. And it's also cool for people who don't want to, you know, express themselves sexually, but I'm not going to judge you or label you. You got to do what's right for you.
Right. Right. No, I'm with you. Like, I am happy to meet my own needs. I've been in a celibacy state for over a year now. I'm just starting to maybe look at exploring, but I'm like you, you know, like I don't need to be in the streets the same way I was in my 20s. Like, I'm much more about quality than I am just hopping around to things. So that's the part I'm still figuring out and navigating, is like, I don't want to necessarily be like completely polyamorous, but I also really don't want a partner right now.
Yeah. And that's not true. I think we're in a very similar state. Like, I'm not pushing any of it because I don't feel like I'm lacking anything.
Right.
Like, this is probably the first time in my entire life where I'm just like, I am truly fulfilled in every aspect of my life. And you couldn't have asked, I could not have said that 20 years ago.
That's amazing.
I couldn't have said it 10 years ago. But right now, on this day, as we are having this conversation, I am living the exact life that I want to live.
Amen. Amen. Well, with that, we have to wrap up for today. I want to thank my co-host, Ernest, and our lovely guest, Michelle, for an awesome, awesome show. Michelle, we'll have to have you back.
Oh yeah, because she was preaching today. That's like the, I'm start calling her Bishop Reverend Doctor.
The Church of Massey.
Mm-hmm. I truly enjoy this, and you know, selfishly, I just love any time I can talk to Holly.
Same.
And now we can just vibe together.
I but love
Ernest,
it.
You too. Like, I look forward to continuing our conversations.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Yeah. Thank you
it's
both.
It's been a long time coming.
I want to thank our sponsors, Orgastronomy and Unbound New Mexico. And of course, if you find yourself in darkness, we hope it's in the shadow of love.